It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so, Father, as we open your words, we hear the very words of Jesus spoken to us. We give you thanks as we reflect back and recognize the influence of the words and the life of Jesus upon our church family, upon individuals, upon us as family units and together as a whole body of Christ, the way in which you have been at work and changed things, changed our perspective, changed our desires. We give you thanks for new life that has risen out of this desire to make you known. And we continue, God, to ask you to shape our lives according to this commission, to move us out. So thank you, God, that you don't give up on us, and your plan A is to use us to declare your goodness to the world. Help us understand that just a little bit more this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So in the spring of last year, we started this series. I'm sure it's well embedded in your hearts and your minds, a series called Go, based on these very verses that I've just read out of Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission. And in that series, we use the analogy of journeying with people, likening it to embarking on a trip, going through an airport. And as part of that message, we said we could keep doing things the way that we've always have, but doing so would run the risk of having empty buildings, or we can become everything we've been created to be as a people of God, as followers of Jesus Christ, as light-bearing Christians, as disciples of Jesus who are living in community and welcoming others into that community in the daily rhythms of our neighborhoods, workplaces, and city. Jesus said, the time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. That's the way he starts this book of Matthew, and he concludes it with this idea of going into all the world. The world is waiting. We are being sent. Let's take on the identity then of an airport. That's what we talked about. That continually helps people to embark on life-changing journeys. And we can do that starting here. So that's where we were. That's how we got into all of this through the course of this past year. That's pretty exciting to pause and consider all that God is doing as a result of that, of praying those verses and encouraging along that same way. But here's a question. What if we didn't? What if we just ignored this idea of going? What if we stayed the same? Because that's what we're used to. You know, our community recently lost a significant part of its identity in these recent weeks. Sears. Right? Sears closed its doors for the final time in January, brought to an end over 60 years of being present in this community. I remember it well because when we first moved to town 20 years ago, it was the only place in Sarnia that sold an oatmeal muffin without any other kind of stuff inside of it. It was just oatmeal. And I would go there often because they were the only place in town that sold oatmeal muffins. Just a plain oatmeal muffin. No apple chunks, no raisins, nothing. Just oatmeal. It was good. I miss Sears. But in addition to our store, 130 other stores like it across Canada also closed its doors. And the reason for the closure? After many years of declining sales and loss of market share to big box retailers like Walmart, and then the rise of online sales like from companies like Amazon, Sears was no longer relevant on the retail scene. And the reasons that are cited for Sears's demise are both tragic and ironic. Tragic because it results in the loss of jobs for some of those we know, maybe their family, friends, or neighbors. It's ironic because of all the retailers in the game, no company should have been in better position to prosper amid the changes in our consumer landscape over the last 30 years. Nobody should have been in better position than Sears. See, Sears started in the late 1800s, first and foremost as a mail order business. There were no storefronts. The catalog, as it were, back then, maybe Mary remembers that. No, that would be 117 years old if that were the case. The Sears catalog was distributed, orders were placed, and then they were delivered by post. They were Amazon before Amazon even came to be. And it wasn't until 1920 where they decided to open storefronts. But they were basic storefronts. They were big box. They were bland, into which they started to expand the products that they offered. And so they were Walmart before Walmart ever came to be. But in the post-war recovery and the economic rise, they decided to beautify their stores to appeal to whole families while keeping their catalog selling, right? The catalog counter was still there in our store. And who doesn't remember getting the Christmas wish catalog right before you went back to school in September and being handed it by your parents so you could circle what you think you might get at Christmas time and you give it back to them? Thanks, David. On December 9th, just over a year ago, December 9th, 2016, a writer named Jeff Colvin, who writes for Fortune magazine, wrote an article very simply entitled, Why Sears Failed. And in it, he cites three reasons. One is denial, the other is insularity, and the third is paralysis. And so this morning, I want to just have you think about three ways to not be like Sears. Three ways for the church to not become like Sears. And I think it's important that we consider these things. The first is, live the mission, don't love the model. Live the mission, don't love the model. When the retail landscape changed with the rebirth of discount big box stores, Sears decided we're going to stay the same. When the rising tide of online shopping was made to make shopping even more efficient for busy families and people who wanted to spend less time waiting in lines, Sears said we're going to stay the same. They had enjoyed success for several decades with a model they had said, this works. Their faith was firmly planted, stubbornly so, in a model that had worked for 40 years. Pride, stubbornness, tradition. They refused to take a look. The problems couldn't be their model. In Canada, the role of the Christian church can be guilty of holding on to old models, despite the obvious drop in effectiveness around us. We can also be guilty of scoffing at the world around us and wondering why don't they change and become like us. We can also be proud, stubborn, and traditional. After all, this model has worked for so long. We like it. Therefore, the problem must lie with everybody else. Into this thought, we are reintroduced to Jesus' great commission to those, he says, if you are going to be those who follow me, then you need to keep into consideration this idea. Go into all the world. Don't stay and hope all the world comes to you. We've reversed that, haven't we? Ask yourself this. If everyone else is as engaged in the Great Commission as I am, that is, if everyone else is as engaged in helping others to understand what it's like to be a disciple of Jesus, then what does the future of the church look like? You see, to live the mission, we must position ourselves as those serving according to the inexhaustible grace of Jesus. He says, my grace is sufficient, my grace is abundant, my grace is overflowing. And I wonder sometimes if we cut ourselves off from that. And so we must live the mission, not love the model. I think that's really important. Secondly, we must stay connected to the life of our community. We must stay connected to the life of our community. In the early 1990s, the biggest decision makers of Sears heard for the first time that their company was losing ground. In fact, they had been losing ground for several years, but those closer to the grim realities decided to keep that information from the executives at higher levels, or they explained it away as a temporary setback, always referring to the traditional role of Sears in the North American retail landscape. See, the leaders, those on the decision makers of Sears and the Sears, what used to be called the Sears Tower in Chicago, those leaders had insulated themselves from reality instead of being engaged with the changing needs of people. And in so doing, they had blinded themselves, assuming that past success meant future prosperity. Our visit to Seed of Hope Community Development in Bekelwandle, South Africa, just outside of Durban over these last 2 weeks, has served as a great reminder of the importance of being engaged in community and being shaped by the changing needs of a community. Seed of Hope came into existence about 13 years ago, which, coincidentally or not, is about the same time that our church family started down this renewed path to community engagement. Seed of Hope has undergone changes over the years. They don't function the same way that they functioned 13 years ago. In fact, since our last visit 3.5 years ago, they've been undergoing changes. And some of those changes, in particular over this past year, have been due to economic reasons, and some of those changes have been due to personnel reasons. And they're undergoing more changes yet. And at this time, the changes at Seed of Hope are being driven by a renewed commitment to listen to the needs of the community, assess the strengths and resources that Seed of Hope possesses, and then shape their programming accordingly. Where is the sweet spot between what's going on in the community and the resources that we currently have? What is happening as a result of that is the birth of new programming that is addressing the needs of whole families, not just children primarily, as it was 3.5 years ago. Their prayerful hope is that by addressing the needs of the family, they will strengthen those families, which will then transform their community. It's a long-term vision that goes beyond the lifespan of the current staff. It's a long-term vision that places the emphasis on God's desire for all facets of their community. According to Kiara Ward, the executive director, she says, our vision is still the same. Our vision is still the same, but our strategy can change. And that means going through these changes is based on a commitment to be led according to God's principles by continually asking two core questions, she says. One, God, what are you doing here? What are you up to? And secondly, where are we going in relationship to what you're doing? I like those two questions. God, what are you doing, and how do we fit into what you're doing? She says, we don't want to just do good stuff. We don't want to be busy doing good stuff. We want to focus on God and what will count for eternity. What Kiera and Seed of Hope are saying is that they want to continually seek God's best for the community, which will mean his best for their organization, which will mean his best for them personally. I think sometimes we get that order mixed up, backwards, that we say, what's in it for me first, and then I'll deal with everybody else. to stay connected to the life of a community, we must be people who are praying to be led by the abundant grace of God. I think that's very significant for us. The third thing, the third way to not become like seers is to embrace the blessing of change. To embrace the blessing of change. The demise of seers is rooted in the paralysis of fear. They were more afraid of losing what they had come to know than transforming themselves into response to the changes taking place in the marketplace. They thought they could protect themselves if they just stayed the same, that change would mean admitting defeat. In so doing, they actually failed to understand their key core principles right from the very beginning. They neglected the roots through which they were given birth as an organization, as a business. They forgot that they were Amazon before Amazon ever was. They forgot that they were Walmart before Walmart ever was. They forgot that they were the ones who had pioneered change in their beginnings, and instead they became settled and they became predictable and they ultimately became useless to the changing needs of their communities. We as a Western church are headed in the same direction. Unless we embrace the blessing that comes with adapting our strategies and our models with grace while holding unswervingly to the truth of God. It's possible. I think sometimes we think if we change our strategies, that means we're letting go of God's truth. But grace and truth go together. The fullness comes together in Jesus Christ, and we are the body of Jesus Christ. So we must hold those both together. Think about this. We sang the song just a little while ago, a little bit of a hybrid with a relatively updated version of the wonderful cross. When I survey the wondrous cross. Back in the 1500s, songs that were sung in gatherings, maybe kind of like this, were sung exclusively from the book of Psalms, often without instruments. The thought was, God has given us everything that we need and we shouldn't add to it. So let's just sing the Psalms. We'll sing it without instruments. We'll sing it on a certain meter, at a certain timing. And then came along a few people who began to think differently, to think more creatively with the gifting that God had given them. And a person named Isaac Watts. And people, you guys like that song? You remember that song? That song has a lot of meaning to people. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, it has a lot of meaning for people. And he wrote that song, and he wrote Joy to the World. And he wrote, God, Our Help in Ages Past. And he wrote, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed. And he wrote over 600 other great hymns. And do you know what people thought of him? They thought he was a rebel. They did not accept his music. They thought he was contrary. They thought he was looking to break apart those things that they had built, so held so firmly. So, 400 or 500 years later, is it possible we have those same kind of thoughts? Is it possible we've repeated those thoughts over and over again? It may seem like foolishness to it now, but it does serve as a reminder that we must continually adapt. We must continually change in response to our community. In Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 65, Isaiah writes this. It's just a really short little verse that he, part of a greater section, but he says this. This is what the Lord says. As when juice is still found in a cluster of grapes, and people say, don't destroy it, there is still blessing in it, so will I do in behalf of my servants. Isaiah says there is still blessing in these culture, in this small cluster of greats over here. There's new life. There's something good to be found over here. And there's blessing to be enjoyed from it. And Jesus uses that language in both Matthew and Mark and Luke in the same story when he talks about new wine in new wineskins. He says, you don't pour new wine into old wineskins. Wineskins then were made of goat skin, and as the new wine would ferment, if you put it into an old goat in the old wineskin, it would expand and it would burst and it would be a waste. He said, no, instead, you pour new wine into new wineskins. You need something new to hold these things. Isaiah says there's blessing in the new wine. Jesus says you need a new framework to be able to hold that blessing. I think that's important for us to consider. Important for us to think about. Trying to contain new wine in old containers doesn't work. It ends up being wasteful, and then you have less than with what you began. So as those serving in a community and praying for a community, we must also be able to be those who are responding, empowered by the grace of God to the changing needs of a community. Communities change over time. This community has changed over 65 plus years. Those changing needs require changes in response. As a church in a community, we must be intentional about our response, and we must be unafraid to adapt our strategies and models for this purpose, so that men and women and boys and girls will find their identity and purpose in Jesus Christ. If we think about change as losing what we have, then we'll never make a change. If we actually care about what's happening in people's lives around us, then change is easy. Why wouldn't I change if it meant somebody could come to know Christ? Serving, praying, responding. You're going to hear more about those about those three words. We're going to use them fairly consistently, I hope, over the course of this next while. There are three words that I believe reflect the vision that the Lord has given to us. And so when somebody asks you, as we talked about at one of our recent governing board meetings, when somebody asks you what it means to be part of the SEMC, these are the words that emerge. We are people who serve. We are people who pray. And we are people who respond to the needs of others. Serving, praying, responding. We should be able to say that we are a church that serves and prays and responds in the grace of Jesus. And so we kind of shortened that to look like this, spring, right? You got that? Is there not another one there? Okay. So S-P-R-I-N-G, that's it, spring. Serving, praying, responding. Serve, pray, respond in grace. Where new life is continually emerging, where people are being moved outward as they connect with those who have yet to trust Christ as their Savior. That's got to be the key. That's part of what we do. That's why we do what we do. And that's exciting. Isn't it exciting to know that God has yet have blessings for us to discover as we engage with people, we get to know people in our community and their various life circumstances, and that people are looking for ways in which to make it through their lives, and they are just waiting for us to come alongside and say, how can I pray for you? As we serve, we've been asking over the course of these last little while, where do you currently serve in our community? The reason why we're asking that is so that as you serve, then we can be praying. And as we serve and we pray, then God, it's amazing how God then gives us opportunity and discloses opportunities and people for us to respond to with His grace. Serving, praying, responding. They all go together. We serve, we pray, we respond in the grace of God. And so as we close this, as we consider what yet might God do with us, we have to consider what changes possibly could be made with me, with you, with us, with our families. What changes are happening in our community that we need to get involved with, so that we can be intentionally praying about and then look for the God-given openings to respond with grace? Wouldn't that be exciting? Isn't it exciting to know that God has blessing for us to discover in this community? You can look at people, you can look at people and say, there is blessing in you that we can enjoy together. To look at others, not as those who are different than us, but those who have blessing for us. God-given blessing. That's awesome. And so the sobering question, it's a sobering, challenging question to ask out of myself, and perhaps if you are honest with yourself, it might be a bit of a challenge. But ask yourself this. If everyone else is as engaged in the Great Commission as I am, that is, if everyone else is looking to help others to become disciples of Jesus, then what does the future of the church look like? It's a great time to ask that question as we embark on this year of 2018. And it's a great place knowing what God has been doing with us for these previous 65 years, these most recent years, and coming off of 2017, where we had teams go not just to El Salvador, but also at the beginning of this year now to South Africa. As we have people engaged with last year, Upward Basketball had 140 children plus, so that's then you add their families onto that. It's almost 400 people that we're engaged with. Our Adventure Bible Camp that we have over 100 kids come to in our community. We connect not just with kids, but hopefully their families as well. And then we had all these people who said, you know, I want to serve God in camps through this summer. And this summer, that was pretty awesome. That's pretty exciting. As we rolled through the summer, we realized, hey, we can do this, and it multiplies blessing throughout. Those are exciting things that God has already begun and doing among us. And then as we started to this idea of encouraging and equipping people to go on a journey with others in their community, people are doing that. People who might not otherwise come here on a Sunday, but they have a desire to know more about the truth of God and how it applies to their lives. It's exciting to know that people are engaged in that, isn't it? And so we need to continue to do that. We need to continue to direct our attention to those things that are close to God's heart. And that's one of the things, that's what one of the reasons why I continually am excited about serving among us here at the SCMC as a church family. And so let's keep these things in mind. Let's keep the demise of Sears. Let's remember Sears well, but let's not become like Sears. Let's remember our roots and the changes that God has said. You can be transformed. And as you are transformed, as you continually transform, take the posture of a servant, then others will be changed in like manner. Let's pray together. Father, we give you thanks for your faithfulness again towards us. Thank you for this challenge. We realize, Father, that there are things that we need forgiveness for. And yes, we can be stubborn. We can be guilty of hanging on to tradition just for tradition's sake. And so would you protect us from ourselves in that regard? Would you help us, God, to be those who look to you continually, who take the posture of a servant and seek to prayerfully engage our community and are looking to respond with grace so that people might know that the truth of God, that Jesus is worth following. And so we pray for those who have yet to place their faith in Christ. We pray for those that you are going to send us to, and we ask, God, that you would use us as ambassadors to share your truth. And so thank you for our community. Thank you for the opportunities that you give us. Thank you for the blessing that awaits us as we engage with others. And so would you continue to be our guide? Would you continue to shape us to be more like Jesus? We pray in his name. Amen.